Welcome to Global One Media Stocks to Watch. I'm Michael Suido. I'm speaking today with Jonathan Odd. He's the CEO, President, and Director of Dakota Gold. They're based in the U.S. state of South Dakota, and as their name implies, they are laser-focused on the yellow metal whose value has been soaring to record heights. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Dakota Gold recently announced test results from its Maitland Gold Project, which is in the western part of South Dakota, not too far from the border with Wyoming. You took samples from 11 drill holes, and what struck me is this. You know that the Maitland site is unique in that there's good potential to mine gold both close to the surface and also at depth. Tell us more about this.
Yeah, we picked up the Maitland project in 2021 from Barrick. Barrick had acquired Homestake in 2001, and a number of the assets they acquired from Homestake in South Dakota went right into Barrick's closure group. And we picked up the Maitland project, which is contiguous with the old Homestake mine. And the old Homestake mine, for those that don't know about it or aren't aware, produced 40 million ounces of gold and still to this day is America's largest single gold mine. Mm-hmm. So the opportunity for us to pick up a gold project on private land contiguous with the largest gold deposit and gold mine in the history of the U.S. was something that was too hard to pass up on.
As you mentioned, the Homestake mine in Maitland is a historic site. Mining there goes back to the 1870s. You also note that the type of mineralization that Dakota Gold is focused on has never been pursued there before. So it's an underexplored opportunity. What are the next steps?
Yeah, so we have two kinds of mineralization. We've made two discoveries on the Maitland project, again, which is contiguous with the Homestake mine. We discover what's called the Unionville Zone, which is in a younger package of rocks. It's tertiary epithermal, and it sits on top of the Homestake Formation. Homestake never assayed for it in its 125-year history of producing gold in the Black Hills in South Dakota. And in some of our more recent press releases, we've talked about the discovery of the JB Zone, which is in the same geology, same host, same age to what Homestake was mining for 125 years. And that's in Homestake Formation. And we've had some really good intercepts there. And more recently, we've announced that what we're seeing in the JB zone is akin to the Western Ledge system in the old mine, where 17, 19, and 21 ledges, three distinct gold zones within the old mine that were mined for 125 years, there was between 6 and 7 million ounces of gold in what they call the Western Ledge system. So really encouraging. And I think most importantly, our geological model is working. So it's allowing us to really now vector to where we think the thicker, higher grade portions of this deposit are going to be.
I gotta say, when I heard that amount of gold, I just sat straight up in my seat. What I think is also interesting is your company, you're focused on these new gold discoveries and opportunities that builds on history, on 145 years of mining history. What are the criteria you use, though, for selecting projects in this area and deciding where to invest resources?
Yeah, so when we look at how to deploy capital, it's a very competitive process. You know, data ultimately wins. So when it comes to looking at how to deploy capital, you've got brownfields and greenfields targets. So brownfields would be more developed. Brownfields would have historical drill holes. It would have data that you can really sink your teeth into and look at that and say, okay, we think we can move this opportunity forward and make it bigger. We think there's something that somebody else missed. You know, greenfields is looking at earlier stage target opportunities and looking at making discoveries. And, you know, we are incorporating a combination of the two into our drill programs. At Maitland, Homestake had already made a discovery into Homestake Formation back in the early 90s. So that's 100% on our project that, you know, when Homestake went outside of the old mine, their cutoff was 7 grams, which is very high grade. So, you know, for us, there's an opportunity to really pick up where Homestake left off. And, you know, James Berry, our vice president of exploration, worked underground at Maitland. He worked in the Wharf open pit, which is the state's only gold mine, not more than 2 miles away from our Maitland project. So having that institutional knowledge, having that expertise is invaluable.
Yeah, institutional knowledge, always a great thing to have. You also mentioned the importance of data. So I think it's worth pointing out that Dakota Gold has exclusive access to 145 years worth of exploration data from the Homestead District. Definitely a lot of data points to work with. Now, I know that your company prides itself on responsible gold exploration and development. So tell us, what does responsible gold mining look like to you?
So mining around the world definitely has a, you know, somewhat of a bad reputation. And part of the, you know, the biggest hypocritical topic on the planet today, or one of them, is everybody wants to electrify and decarbonize. But the only way to get there is through safe and responsible mining. And, you know, for example, so when we drill, we're reclaiming a lot of the ground that we disturb. And in over 2 years of drilling, we've only disturbed a net of 16 acres. And we're trying to repurpose already disturbed ground. And everything we're doing right now is on private ground.
I love how you put that in terms of not creating a new footprint. Responsible gold mining, responsible mining of any sort, I think it's extremely important. And I'm really glad to hear you talk about that. Let's talk money now. Over the course of your career to date, you've raised more than $600 million for companies in the natural resources sector. And while your operations have focused primarily on gold, you're also someone who has his finger on the pulse of the precious metals industry in general. So I'm curious, where do you think the industry is headed from here?
Well, I actually think it's you know, a historic opportunity to own and invest in a sector that's been largely ignored. And you've heard a lot of chatter and a lot of talk around, well, that there's this massive disconnect between relatively robust metal prices and, you know, anemic performance in the gold equities. Now, you've had some of the gold seniors start to outperform, but still, when you look at you know, gold's at 2272 right now. And it's something that is, you know, the gold equities are at this historic low from an entry point. So prior to this move in the gold price, there was, you know, a concern that there was margin erosion, not margin expansion. So in an inflationary environment, supply chain, you know, is, you know, stretched and challenged, you know, there was actual margin erosion. Now this last $200 move in the gold price, for gold to break out and be at all-time highs, will go to the directly to the bottom line of these miners. Mm-hmm. And if we are coming into a Fed pivot, doing so from 2270, 2200, we think is something that everybody should have some level of exposure to. It's still an under-owned asset class. And again, I think that maintaining $2.5 trillion annual deficits in the US, $1 trillion on your military, and $1 trillion to service your debt, you know, that is not sustainable. And at some point there will be an inflection point. And the other key theme that's going on right now is you're seeing de-dollarization happen. So you're seeing a lot of countries are looking for alternative ways to settle transactions. And, you know, we think gold will play a central role in that. And it's a phenomenal time to be looking at this space.
Well, as we've been discussing, gold has been trading at record levels. It's up close to $2,300 US an ounce today. If you look at the charts, gold has just been rising pretty steadily since last October. As of today's filming, it's up 25% over the last 6 months. Do you expect it to go further up?
Well, look, it's had this historic move without really a pullback. So I've done this long enough where nothing goes up forever. So it, you know, there are certain metrics where it starts to look overbought, but clearly there is something going on where there's massive physical demand. And so you're seeing, you know, you've had this paper market versus the physical market, where the paper market has been in, you know, has run the gold market forever. And now you're seeing the physical market start to be the leader. We're acquiring large amounts of physical gold. I mean, it's really driving this gold price increase. You've had record central bank buying and really a shift from west to east. So I think there's probably, you know, some kind of a pullback that you know, will happen over the next month or 2 months or sooner. But I think that this higher for longer narrative of rates being where they are, the longer it stays at these levels, I think the higher gold goes. You know, there's been now pricing in 3 interest rate increases in, interest rate cuts in 2024. Looks like, you know, June or September is when the Fed will start to cut rates. You know, I think that's where gold could be, you know, materially higher from where it is today.
Okay, so you wouldn't be surprised to see a pullback, but at the same time, the overall fundamentals, the demand, like you say, from central banks and from others is there, which should push the price of gold higher. So one of the things which I find interesting, I'm really trying to understand, is that while gold is going up, the share prices of many gold exploration companies and miners, they're not rising in tandem with the price of gold. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think the generalist investor is not yet very active in the gold space. I think they're tentative in terms of, is this another false start? Are we going to have another meaningful pullback? But I think, again, I don't like using this time is different and history never repeats itself, but it rhymes. And I think the balance sheets of the miners are much better than where they were, you know, 15, 20 years ago. You know, so in 2001, gold was $265 an ounce, and it went to $1,900 in 2011. And, you know, we're starting this next leg up here with interest rates at, you know, 5.25%, 5.5%. It's not sustainable for having almost $35 trillion in government debt in the U.S. So I think that there's still a general aversion to having exposure to gold stocks because a lot of other sectors are really working, you know, the Magnificent Seven, you know, tech, AI. But I think the gold industry is one of the few industries that has any deep value left. And it's a sector that's been largely left for dead. We went to the BMO conference in late February, and the mood and the tone there for gold and gold equities was terrible. And this was before this $200 move in the gold price. And it's just an underinvested sector. There was actually outflow. So several of the institutions that were participating in the conference are open-ended gold funds and were getting redemptions outflow. So they then have to sell a basket of names to raise the money to satisfy the redemptions. And that was a gold at $2,000 an ounce.
All right. Well, thank you for walking us through that. I mean, off screen, you know, before we got started, you said it was really the billion-dollar question, and I think it's something that people are still trying to grapple with. Let's take a more specific look now at your company, Dakota Gold. Its share price has been rallying over the past month, up about 12%, but it is still in bear market territory. So tell us, what do you think makes Dakota Gold a compelling investment opportunity today? Why is it a stock to watch?
Yeah, I think when you look at a chart, I mean, it's just crossed above the 100-day moving average, which is an important technical characteristic. You know, look, over the next month, we are delivering a maiden gold resource for our Richmond Hill project, which is only a mile away from Maitland. And this will be the compilation of 800 historical drill holes and about 50 holes that we've drilled on our own. And Richmond Hill is a mile north of Wharf, which is the state's only producing gold mine. Same geology. So that's going to be really important to help not only underpin the value of our company, but allow a platform for growth going forward. And at Maitland, we're really figuring out the geology and having this Western Ledge System analog at our Maitland project that contains our JB discovery is really exciting. And then you've got this Unionville discovery, which is in a younger package of rocks in this tertiary epithermal that typically is an overprint on top of the Homestake formation. So with every drill hole we drill at Maitland, we have an opportunity to hit both kinds of mineralization. So you almost get two for the price of one. And and that's currently where all 4 of our drill rigs are at our Maitland project. Once we completed the work necessary to announce our maiden resource and get that work done, the 2 rigs at Richmond Hill moved over to Maitland. So 4 rigs are at our Maitland project. And again, for those listeners that are tuning in late, you know, Maitland is contiguous with the Homestake mine that was in production from 1876 to 2001, produced 40 million ounces of gold, and grew Homestake into one of the largest gold mining companies in the world for decades.
Jonathan, thanks for making that bullish case for us. I think it's also worth noting that with U.S. interest rates expected to fall this year, we may see even more investors switching into gold, and that could translate into heightened interest in exploration companies with good prospects. So thank you very much for walking us through Dakota Gold's portfolio and sharing your outlook on the sector.
Thank you so much.
We've been speaking with Dakota Gold CEO Jonathan Odd, and you've been watching Global One Media's Stocks to Watch. I'm Michael Swido.